Hello, welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. Didn't love the way I delivered that, but we're going with it. My name's Katie Stoll.
I thought it was great too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I find the tagline a bit suspect, but I'll take your word for it.
It's true. Okay. Words have power, and that is
true.
Their truth.
Hi, Katie. I'm Cody. Let me say it. Okay, you go.
You had your chance.
Fine.
Joining us today is our friend, our colleague, the wonderful, the effervescent, the beautiful, the talented, the dedicated, the kind, the handsome,
Daniel Gordon.
No.
Well, you forgot vampirically pale.
Yeah.
Daniel Vincent Gordon.
Yeah. The vampirically pale Daniel Vincent Gordon.
The sun-starved, hermit-like Daniel Vincent Gordon.
You are a little pale for you.
Gaunt. Yeah. How's it going?
No, not
gaunt. Live.
I mean, he's beautiful.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Alabaster sun skin.
I slathered myself in makeups before I appeared here. Because even though you guys at home can't see me, Katie and Cody can see me. And if I'm not covered in makeups.
I've never seen Daniel without makeups.
Me. Oh, no.
I don't respond to anything he says if he doesn't wear it. So
before we go down this path much longer, I just want to take a break and wish everybody a very happy belated Indigenous Peoples Day. Not Christopher Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm adopting that. I'm
embracing the power of words.
The power of words. Over the weekend, my boyfriend and I just got in the car and drove to get out of the house. And we drove to Lake Chumash, which is a little bit outside of Santa Barbara. And it was beautiful. But the whole time I was there, I kept thinking about how this land belonged to the Chumash tribe. And they lived there for 9,000 years before European settlers decimated their way of life. And I was thinking about this even before I realized that it was Indigenous Peoples Day. And so I wanted to mention that here. You know, I saw a lot of posts about this on Instagram, and I saw one from this account called Woke Teachers, which I think is a really terrible name, but I do applaud.
Get it out of here.
I applaud the sentiment of the account being, providing tools to teachers in education about social justice type stuff. And, you know, they were encouraging us and teachers to begin the process of kind of reconciling how the majority of our existence has been allowed because of this continuous displacement of Indigenous people. Our whole lives are built on this place that was stolen land, you know, and it's the question of how you can do true social justice work without also having that be a part of the conversation. And they suggested a thing called land acknowledgement, which is, acknowledging who was here first, showing honor and showing gratitude as a sign of respect and a willingness to hear those stories, to bear witness to it. It's all an important thing to consider when we talk about gentrification and displacement. And I thought that was a really important, I mean, there's obviously so much more to do about this issue, but I responded to that post. And so I'm talking about it here with you guys right now.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And while you were talking about that, I thought one thing to kind of update, for example, is, we were talking about Keystone a lot more years ago.
Yeah.
When we were trying to prevent it. And the story didn't end just because it stopped getting coverage. It's kind of like with Flint. And, from November of 2019, Keystone Pipeline spills 383,000 gallons of oil into North Dakota wetlands, which is exactly what people were saying was going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh,
there was no,
that was,
it's not, there was no, it didn't end there. You know, what people were protesting against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got overruled, and then exactly what they were saying was going to happen did. And
that's the pattern. You say this is going to happen, this is going to happen, then it happens, and then you don't.
Well, it's also just there's so much to be said about our grotesque history with, especially in reference to Indigenous peoples, but like there's this idea that we know better, or we don't listen. We don't listen. We don't listen to the things that they're saying. For example, here in California, when we look at how, again, thousands of years, indigenous peoples handled wildfires, you know, controlled burning, the sacred ritual of all of this. And we've outlawed a lot of that here in California. And now we are looking at the worst wildfires in history. And it's because we are ignoring, it's at least in part, there's lots of reasons why, but there's an aspect of it that is us ignoring the wisdom of people that have been here a lot longer than us. Putting that out there on Indigenous People's Week, because today is not Indigenous People's Day.
Speaking of the last however many minutes of talking about various topics and days, nothing. Speaking of nothing, something. And speaking of something, thanks to Feels for supporting Even More News. Feels can have me feeling my best, and it can help you also feeling your best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping.
Well, now that that ad's done, it's time to check in with Daniel. Hi, Daniel. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing?
You know.
So good.
And now I wait for you guys to respond. I'm hoping at home you guys are telling me how you're doing. Just speaking.
Let's be quiet while everybody talks at your car. This is your time to be heard. I really like this idea.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, I really responded to that. Thank you for sharing that
with me. Or sorry to hear that. Or glad to hear you're doing well.
Also, congratulations for what you told me, because that's incredible.
Sucks. Congratulations. Yeah.
But Daniel, how are you?
Hi. But I'm doing okay. Every time someone asks me how I am during this era, it's like one of the really long sounding versions of it.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Everyone's fine.
You know, quote unquote fine.
I'm moving right now, and I told you guys just a little bit about this before, but moving is so stressful.
It really is.
Anyway, and it's compounded. My boyfriend and I are moving in together too.
So exciting.
So, you know, it's different from moving in with a roommate.
Yeah.
So there's lots of conflict points.
Yep.
That can arise when you're moving, especially when it's during a pandemic. And,
yes,
you know, it's a lot of, it's not just my stuff from my place, but from home. I feel like a lot of people I see are like, I finally was able to get home and now I'm going through my old stuff because, like, when else am I going to do this?
Right.
Right. It's been okay, but my boyfriend Jason, we did have to take him to urgent care.
Can't believe
the other day. Because 2 weeks before, while he was moving, he was in New York, he had sliced his finger open on something, and he called me, and he's like, how do I know if I have to go to the hospital? And I was like, oh, no, you know it's bad when someone says this. Okay, don't freak out.
No.
You know, they're, like, managing your expectations. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, what happened? He's like, how do you know if you have to go to the hospital? And I was like, well, if you're asking that, you should probably at least go to urgent care.
Yes.
But yeah, he had sliced open one finger, and then 2 days ago we were moving and something popped off and there was a nail that pierced his other finger.
Oh God.
So both hands are injured.
I got very fight or flighty about it. And so I'm trying to, like.
So you started, like, punching his finger?
So I was like, sorry, this is a natural reaction. I am sorry that I'm socking you. No, but I did have this, like, queasy, like, ooh, I'm going to faint maybe.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't make this about you.
This
is not about you. So that's just the day-to-day stuff. But in terms of the state of the world, I'm kind of caught between, like, that rapt horror thing where you're like, I can't look away. It's like looking at a explosion. You're like, wow, that's what a crazy disaster. I can't stop looking at it. And then the other times I'm like, I cannot look at that. It makes me feel horrible. It's, especially about the news and the daily progression of this election. I can't.
I feel like I'm in that whiplash cycle. For me, it's like every day I'm like, I can't touch it. I can't. It's making me revolted. And then the next minute I'm like, okay, well, what's happening now?
Yeah. What happened though?
How are you feeling about the election?
Well,
is an election?
That's a good question.
Yeah, there is.
One. What election would you be talking
all
about?
Of them.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's my first question. I think Cody and I both were thinking the same thing. What election? But two, I think this is maybe a generic response, but I think so many of us are so, like, traumatized from 2016 that we can't take anything for granted and we're terrified because there's so much weird voter suppression and fake ballot boxes and
which we'll talk about
the prospect of potential hacking and widespread distrust in the administration. So I feel cautiously optimistic because I do sense kind of a widespread sense in the country that people think this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Or like, wow, this is bad. And enough that I feel very hopeful that we'll win big and very reticent to even say that because I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That's very well articulated and kind of, I think that that's where I'm at as well. I'm very much bolstered by what I see around the country, people turning up already, waiting in hours long lines, which in and of itself is unacceptable that, you know, people are put in a position where they have to wait so very long to cast their vote. The overwhelming record-breaking turnout of mail-in ballots being received, the support I see on social media, I'm very bolstered by that. But I'm with you. I know better than to assume that anything that we're seeing is definitively what I'm hoping it is. And I know that there are so many other things between now and then that can happen. I know that there's so many things happening right now that we don't know the ramifications of.
And I'm just worried that he's going to be using the arms of the government in it successfully.
Right.
Yes.
In a variety we know he's going ways.
To. It's whether or not he's successful.
Well, yeah, we know he's going to try to with some success, probably, among his lackeys.
Yeah.
But it's like the outcome depends on how far into authoritarianism we already are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, are we just not far enough into it where we can pull ourselves back? Or are we at the place where he can wield the arms of government to get himself reelected, even though he's incredibly unpopular? And if that happens, I think a lot of us are like, well, I pretty much planned my life up until November when the election happened and not after that, because what the hell is going to happen if Trump
is so hard to conceptualize what happens next. Cody, we've had these conversations. Worst Year Ever, our other show, for example, which is a small example, but like obviously.
What's that show about?
It's about 2020. When that's done, like it's hard to conceive of what the next iteration of whatever it is we're going to do will be because we have no idea what that world looks like. I will say one positive, I don't always feel this way, what I'm about to say, but I had this thought the other day, admittedly, yes, while I was a little high. It
Katie.
Felt comforting and I'm sharing it with you guys. It was for how I'm exhausted and horrified every day. I'm sick of this whirlwind and this whiplash and feeling, you know, constant sense of dread. I also think when we survive this, I will look back with gratitude that I got to be a part of it. Gratitude that I got to say, no, I don't believe in that. No, I'm going to do my best to fight against this. Grateful that I got to share it with you guys, with all of our listeners. And I found it to be a little bit of a release, like to try to put myself in that position and looking back, because like, this is corny, but it's the fight of our lifetime. I mean, we're going to have others, but like I don't know if that resonates with anybody else, but I thought I would share it.
I would say it's the, beginning of the fight of our lifetime.
Yeah, I think that that's a better way to phrase it.
Precursor to.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to bear this burden, but I think and I hope that I'm equipped to do it, and I'm glad that I get to say stand for what's right.
I mean, I think there's a broader fight of our lifetime for example, climate change, which is much bigger than Trump. But we are at a turning point where history can go two extremely different ways.
Yeah.
With extremely different outcomes.
For sure. I think it's, there's a stark difference and a very clear fork in the road right now
And a very clear maniac.
Yeah, and I think that's that makes it more hellish. It makes it more frustrating. It makes it harder. But in some ways, I think it makes it easier because of he's so obviously representative of things that are like antithetical to like our values and such an obvious liar. All the things that we know about how the Orange Man is indeed bad. He is bad. He's a bad man. And we're heading towards, hopefully, a world where he's not the figurehead, yeah, but the people who are in power are less clearly doing these kinds of things, less clearly insidious, less clearly doing these kinds of things that he does and admits them out loud and is like reckless.
At least have people that can potentially be listened.
I mean, I think about it this way. Imagine a teenage chimp got stuck in your house and you were like, oh, fuck, that chimp's going crazy in my house. And you're like, I don't want to even go in there because he's just tearing it apart. First step to getting your house back is get that chimp out of your house.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's going crazy.
You're not going to do anything with him in there.
Right.
Step one, you can't start cleaning anything up until the chimp is out of the house.
For sure.
I'm sorry if I'm not trying to insult chimps.
It's too late. But no, I mean, that's the, I mean, we had a video out today kind of about that exact thing. The fight will be harder because when people get rid of the chimp, they will think that we did it. We got rid of the chimp.
That's what I'm worried about.
And in getting rid of that chimp, we're going to let in other chimps who are a bit better trained. They're toilet trained, right? They're not flinging their shit everywhere, but they're still chimps shitting in their diaper that are still knocking things over, but in a cute way, in a more polite way.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that like we need to continue to be aware of and prepare for, because it's gonna be harder to fight for progress when the person in power is still resisting that progress, but in a more acceptable way, like the Dianne Feinstein of the world and so on.
If Trump gets voted out, knocking on every piece of wood I can find, then I do think, however, that everyone has earned one full week of sleep and napping.
I think that people are
deserve
to have a little bit of a rest. I agree with what both of you are saying. I wanted to bring up that video as well, Cody. Just the extreme. We have a video out this week, if you guys haven't seen it. The case to vote for Biden, for voting for Biden, which is mainly that he's not Trump, and that, you know, there are a couple good things that we can point to. It's complicated, you know, and Cody grappled with that script a lot, trying to make it right.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's not a secret that nobody over here wanted Biden to be the candidate.
Well, and it's not even just that, like, we don't want him to be the candidate. And I'm not speaking for anybody else here, but for myself, it's not just that I don't want him to be the candidate. It's like, I think he's like one of the worst possible candidates, not candidates necessarily, because his whole, I'm just a back to normal kind of guy might work like that. Like his whole approach to this election, right, and like, I beat the socialist. Also, I'm very progressive, but also Republicans vote, like that thing. It totally might work. It's more just him as the president. He did a lot of the things that we're fighting against now. He's the cause of a lot of our problems, and not in a way that he is sort of like admitting to that or reconciling with it and really acknowledging that in an honest way that would, I think, be politically healthy. And there's a perpetuation of a lot of those things that worry me a lot too. And just the protection of capital and special interests, it exists with Joe Biden, that kind of thing is
but the point of the video was to acknowledge these things while also saying that the immediate thing is to get the teenage chimp out of our bedroom.
Yeah, I don't like Donald Trump, and I don't want to be the president anymore.
You know, and it's gotten, I don't remember where my point was here at this, but that's out. It's grappling with this, but I agree with you completely that my big fear is a lot of people, not necessarily our listeners, but going back to saying like, thank God we've got Obama back. We don't have to pay as close of attention. Sorry. Go ahead, Daniel.
No, I think that's totally fair.
It's a worry, but it's not the thing that I can deal with right now, except to continuously say like, take your break, take your breather. You have earned it. But the real work begins after.
Yeah. And that frustrate, I think, there's going to be a lot of frustration, I think, of people course. Pointing these things out, of like, well, he shouldn't do this. He shouldn't do this. Biden's doing this, and so on. That sort of criticism that will happen if he wins. And a lot of the same people who are in like the elect Biden coalition will tell you to shut the fuck up and that you're wrong and like you're over exaggerating or like whatever it is to resist the real kind of yeah. change that needs to happen in order to prevent mm-hmm. another Trump from happening sooner or later.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs mm-hmm. kind of look at it. You're like, well,
we need oxygen.
First things
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
It just kind of prioritizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the stuff, but it's all
yeah.
So
I don't know. People are gonna hate the video, or they're gonna like the video.
Either
from
way.
from all sides, for real.
But vote.
We'll say it's interesting. The most like people are like the lib saying vote for Biden, or like Cody and his burning your bust or whatever, like all that kind of stuff. The most vicious and like aggressive response have been from like resistance liberals, who have been like fuck you, Cody. You're helping Trump win, and it's just. It's maddening. It's so
when
wild.
I want to move on to talk about the news.
Yeah, we're done. Sorry.
No, but one thing to that was when we were shooting it and we were doing our read through, that was my concern. And I made the point about people being like immediately responding and saying, fuck you, Cody. You want him to win. But the other side of it was for all the people who are going to be like, fuck you, Cody. You want this fascist in office. You know, like either way. If the fascist meaning Joe Biden in this situation, like I was prepared for both sides of what this will be. Anyway, we do have to talk.
We do. I've had reasonable conversations even just today with like
yeah.
leftists who were like, I disagree with you, Cody, as opposed to the other people.
Yeah. Anyway, it's out.
Anyway,
we're going to talk about Amy Coney Barrett a little later on. First, a few other things that are happening. Tonight was supposed to be the second presidential debate, but unfortunately for us, that is no longer happening. I think we mentioned this last week. Has it been a week? I don't know. The debate was changed from being an in-person town hall, which already that bothered me. A town hall.
Yeah.
So they changed it to a virtual event, but that didn't sit well with Trump, and so he said he wasn't going to do it at all. So they canceled mm-hmm. it. And then Biden planned a town hall for this evening, I believe on ABC. And then in response, Trump decided he wanted to do one at the exact same time, and NBC is allowing it. They're allowing it.
Oh, yeah. They love giving him free TV. They love it. It's NBC's bag. They can't get enough of it.
It's just wild.
They started
to me.
In 2015. I mean, I guess it started before when they were paying him to do The Apprentice, but like that's their whole game. They were never going like, to learn their lesson. They were never
something like
lesson.
This only benefits Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
Who's more entertaining to turn
in
and watch?
I am very curious about how the ratings are going to turn out.
I am
and
too.
That's just me being like a looky-loo,
yeah.
you know,
but
like a neighbor looking over the fence. I'm like, ooh.
I absolutely am. That's the only thing. But I feel like Trump will get better ratings.
Of course you will. He's a
I think more people are likely to watch it just to see what kind of bullshit he says.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, you know,
I mean, he'll brag
like
about
a lot of people watch videos of people falling downstairs. You know what I mean?
For sure. And that doesn't that. But that's the kind of thing. He doesn't care that he just wants the big number and he'll use the big number to say he got the big number. But it won't even necessarily move the needle either way if he gets to brag about the high ratings. It's just all spectacle bullshit, and it's just very – it's not even disappointing because it's unsurprising that NBC is like, yeah, sure. And then he's tweeting like, I'll be on fake NBC tonight for their dumb fuck town hall.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're
yeah.
like, yes, Daddy Trump, give me
sir.
More. Yes, okay, yes. And it's like, all right, well, you know, nothing changes.
Who's running the town hall? I feel like
somebody else he hates and insulted on Twitter earlier today. I forget. He insulted
Daniel. If you think I looked that up,
but Twitter's down. Thank God.
You're wrong.
Did you?
I didn't. It would have been funnier if I had. But I didn't. I didn't. But great news, you guys. The president is now COVID free. Apparently.
Okay.
Because he's a god or whatever. And
yeah.
He's back to doing rallies. Do I want to really talk about this? Not really. But you know, in Fox News, he's claimed that he's beat the coronavirus, passing the highest standards for proving it.
They can't even, they can't even just say he's better. They have to say he got better than anybody. He's the most healthy of all the people that did.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Quote, it looks like I'm...
We looked at his blood work, and one of the nurses was so wowed by it, she threw herself out the window.
Really?
It
was so shockingly beautiful.
Now I'm going to vote
for her. She was out of joy.
It's just so pathetic.
Do you want to hear some more of these? Okay, it looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, maybe a short time. It could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows, but I'm immune. So the president is in very good shape to fight the battles. Side note, people are now dying from reinfection of coronavirus.
Yeah, no, he knows that. That's why he said maybe even for a long time, maybe for some time. So you're not immune then.
Yeah, well, and he also is basically telling people it's over right as we...
Yeah, it's over. We're done. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
Again.
Numbers are back up. I love this one. I feel good by the fact that, you know, the word immunity means something. Having really a protective glow means something. I think it's very important to have that. To have that is a very important thing.
What an unbelievable. Wow. It's not interesting. It makes perfect sense because of how irrational everything is. He constantly is saying stuff like that. Like, he's like the anti-elite person. He's like, I'm for the working man. I'm for you people. I speak for you people. But he gets up on stage. Like, yesterday, he started talking about getting sick. Like, you know, it's great when you're the president. You get all the doctors you want.
Right,
I got all
great.
The doctors. I got more doctors than I ever imagined. And also, I think it's funny that he couldn't imagine more than 9 doctors. But,
right.
Well, that's where he... Double digits is too much.
Exactly. But like, it's just like on his face, like he despises you people. He's bragging about the amazing care that he gets that you won't get. If you get COVID, you will not get the kind of care that he's bragging about to your face right now on stage.
Yeah.
Not to mention his young son also got COVID. And I have not heard him talk about that or acknowledge.
Oh, he talked about it today. He talked about it today.
In any serious way. What is he
talking
about
how tall Baron is.
Oh, that's
my God.
Thanks to the coronavirus.
I'll read what he said about his son that got coronavirus. My Baron, my tall Baron, he's very tall. My beautiful Baron, handsome. He is handsome. But my beautiful Baron had it. He recovered like so fast. I said, wait a minute. How long did that take? Those are the thoughtful words from the loving father about his tall
son. I guess
son.
We should say, you know, he does sexualize Baron in the same way he does
Ivanka. So.
My statuesque, beautiful Baron.
So at least there's that.
What the hell?
Okay. They refused to say when the last time he tested negative, although now they did say that he did test negative. They've been very dodgy about that.
In that case, I believe them.
A little fun thing from, regardless of whether or not they're telling the truth, because put a pin in that. A little fun fact from the FDA. A negative result does not rule out COVID-19 and should not be used as the sole basis for treatment or patient management decisions, including infection control decisions. So he should probably still wear a mask and not do rallies. But hey, you know, that's just their opinion.
Yeah, what if counterpoint? Nuh-uh. Have you considered that?
Moving right along to another story.
Even more news, you say?
Yeah, let's talk about voter fraud. Shit, man,
it's all, you couldn't stop me.
I'm gonna introduce the topic.
We're gonna encourage it, yeah.
All right, yeah, let's talk about the California GOP, because guess what, guys? They've been putting up illegal ballot boxes all around primarily Central and Southern California. This is from the New York Times. The California Republican Party has admitted responsibility for placing more than 50 deceptively labeled official drop boxes for mail-in ballots in Los Angeles, Fresno, and Orange counties, and actions that state officials said was illegal and could lead to voter fraud. The dark gray metal boxes have been popping up over the past 2 weeks near churches, gun shops, and Republican Party offices, mostly in conservative areas of a deep blue state, affixed with a white paper label identifying them as either an official ballot drop-off box or ballot drop box. And this one's from ABC. The collection bins were not authorized by any elections offices and, in some cases, were simple cardboard boxes with no locking security mechanism. So that's fun.
That's
upsetting,
cool.
Unfortunate thing that's happening right now.
And they're saying they won't cease and desist doing it.
That's the next, They don't seem to care. They say that it's fine because California allows for ballot harvesting.
That's not ballot harvesting.
No, that's not ballot harvesting. They're planning to not stop, although they have apparently stopped labeling it as official.
Oh, good.
But guys, don't put your ballot in a cardboard box.
That's good advice.
That doesn't lock.
They're doing like, it's so, happens all the time. They're just doing like voter fraud to prove that voter
it
fraud
exists.
And like, but they're right. doing it. And also like it proves that it's hard to do because they got caught very quickly doing it.
Right.
It's like, it reminds me of that during the Doug Jones, Roy Moore situation, with all the stories about him, you know, trying to molest children, that whole story.
Oh, sure.
And Project Veritas sent a woman to talk to somebody at the Washington Post to lie to them and pretend to be one of Roy Moore's victims, basically to like, if I go to them and lie and then they print the story, then I'll be like, I was lying. See, they're frauds. They're bad journalists. Yeah. They're fake news. But all that did was illustrate that the Washington Post reporters were doing their due diligence and finding out that they were lying and reported on that.
Right.
It's just that backfired.
Yeah. It's just interesting to see them constantly try to prove these things by doing the thing. And then it proves the opposite of what they're trying to prove. So good job, I guess. But also don't put your ballot in these boxes.
No, it's very like, you know, Wile E. Coyote style.
It really is.
Voter suppression.
Cartoonish.
Like, okay, let's order the fake ballot box.
Yeah, we're gonna
like
we're gonna
and place these all over the place. Yeah, it's got this Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah, they're painting voting booths on the sides of rocks and asking you to go inside.
And then you run toward it, and then you smash
or like you
into
like you run towards it, and you stop. You're like, wait, this is painted on, and you go to the coyote, and you're like, this is painted on. And then the guy's like, ah, oh! And then they, I don't know, get arrested. No, they're not going to pay any consequences for this.
No, I think the roadrunner would put their ballot in there anyway, and the coyote would be like,
that's
what?
Exactly what happened. Yeah.
It's a terrible sounding cartoon. You know,
that's
though.
Just the pitch.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back for even more news.
I agree with you completely about those two things.
Okay, hold on there one gosh darn second before you go back to the episode, because now... Right now is the time to ask if you experience stress or have anxiety or trouble sleeping or other stuff that a lot of people are likely feeling right now. If so, then might I suggest trying Feels, a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep? Yes, I might. I might indeed. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness that's exacerbated by... gestures to everything happening all the time. Just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The right dose depends on you, so drink the whole bottle if you want, but actually really, please don't do that. It sounds like way too much. Feels can have me feeling my best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/morenews to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/morenews. And we are back as promised for even more news. Oh, I guess this is the time in today's episode where we have to talk about Amy Coney Barrett. And the hearings for her confirmation.
Okay.
Supreme Court Justice. I have to admit to you and to everybody listening that I have not been able to watch very much of this. It is so hard. It's so hard to see this unfolding and to be so helpless, you know, especially with everything else going on. But we have to talk about it. We have to pay attention. I think it's important. Even if it feels futile, we should talk about her a little bit because we've barely mentioned her.
Yeah. Well, sorry. One thing. Sorry. Just on this topic, I think there's one reason. Like, at least we haven't really delved into her specifically until recently, because it was understood generally that this shouldn't be happening at all, and it doesn't actually matter who she is or what. She believes her X and Y. It doesn't matter because this shouldn't be happening at all. So even like 2 weeks ago, seeing like Democrats and like elected officials be like, Amy Coney Barrett believes this and this and this and this. It's like, well, why do you care? It shouldn't matter. because this shouldn't be happening. But they showed up and were very polite throughout the whole thing. So I guess we have to talk about her, which is,
valid. We'll talk about that. I mean, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, both of your thoughts about it and how they're handling it. Because I'm not sure what they're supposed to do right now. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them have used their time to really hammer home, try to use this as a campaign moment, like hammering home that the ACA and pre-existing conditions are on the line, which is nationally a very popular thing to be running on because people respond to that. People across the board respond, have pre-existing conditions, you know? So they've been using it for that to highlight the fact that this shouldn't be happening. A lot of them have made that point. But then you see what we saw today. Fucking Dianne Feinstein praised Lindsey Graham for the proceedings, saying, quote, "I just want to thank you. This has been one of the best set of hearings that I've participated in. Thank you so much for your leadership." Before she hugged him without a mask on.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those classic living metaphors we see every day. That makes you want to retch.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing and completely expected from people like her specifically, but like in general. It's heartening to see everyone upset about it.
Yeah, that is heartening. People that's that you nice didn't to expect.
See. You know who was right about Dianne Feinstein? Those sunshine kids who told her to go fuck herself and that she didn't care about whether they lived or died. Maybe they were onto something.
But we're not here to talk about Dianne Feinstein, although I would like to see her not be in office anymore. Also,
I think this is her last.
This is she's got
last
several more years. She'll be in her 90s when her term is over.
Healthy and democracy.
That's a whole other conversation.
Thriving
state. But yes, Amy Coney Barrett.
Permission to monologue about Amy Coney
Please,
Barrett.
Please, Daniel, go for it. You have the stage.
Is permission granted?
Permission granted.
Okay, first of all, I want to say something I know you like to say on this show, which is, Cody, I agree with you completely.
Yes.
Which is when you
he loves to hear it.
I do.
There was too much, the second you start talking about her merits, then you have accepted the premise.
Yep.
And you need to reject the premise and say, I reject the premise that we should be talking about her merits at all. There is no ambiguity about this. Mitch McConnell stole a seat a year before an election. This is 22 days. And after they pretended to have, real belief behind this, they showed, of course they didn't. This was blatantly political. I'm not going to talk about Amy Coney Barrett because she specifically is besides the point. This is a shame, right? And the more you just repeat that, the more power it has.
Words have
that
power.
That said, I'm going to just for a moment say thank you to Maisie Hirono, who at least took the moment to be like, okay, let's talk about what's going on with gay marriage.
Yeah.
Because Thomas and Alito, right, are basically signaling they want to overturn it. They don't think that there's any basis for gay marriage in the Constitution at all. And Amy Coney Barrett has worked with the Alliance for Defending Freedom, which of course is one of those Christian hate groups. And, you know, when Amy Coney Barrett said, I wouldn't want to offend, I'm not trying to offend the LGBTQ community, you know, it's just like, we're so sick of hearing that because we know on the other side of that is once push comes to shove.
Absolutely.
They could care less about the LGBTQ community. They have no interest in it. They don't want to make a scene that keeps them from being put on the Supreme Court, but we know where she stands. It's like Trump. I hear Republicans sometimes saying, we're not anti-gay. And I say, it's in your party platform. Or the last one you had before you wrote a new one that says whatever Trump says goes. I think it's a sham. Two, I personally, of course, I think there is no forgiving anti-gay hate groups. It's antiquated. You're living in a different era.
You know,
there are gay people now.
I did a podcast, Alex Iono's podcast. He's a YouTuber and he's got a big, I guess, Gen Z. Those are the young ones now. Fan base. And he had me on and some kid, a GOP Gen Z guy. and he's formed a group that's getting some traction for young conservatives who disagree with the GOP. But he talks about this, you know, like we don't see the party as surviving if you're not also acknowledging, you know, these things like LGBTQ community, you know, or the fact that climate change is real. Like this is what why are your heads in the sand? You aren't, this is not how you survive. This is the future, you know, like how do we exist within this framework where people are equal?
Yeah.
You know, which I, you know, I thought that was a refreshing perspective, though clearly a minority amongst that party. But it's exactly that. This whole frustrating thing is it's like, why are we still relitigating this? And we are going to be relitigating this with her confirmation, that abortion rights, all of it.
Well, I mean, you think about the 20s when there was some more liberation for women starting to happen, and there was a backlash to the liberation too. And, you know, there are always opportunities to go backwards for amounts of time.
Yeah.
Even if we think we're all going in one direction, there are, the backlash can always take you back.
Yeah. These hearings, we don't need to go into too much about this, but it's not comforting. She's not answering any questions that are posed to her.
Nope.
Just wriggling out of all of it.
But she's doing it respectfully and quietly, civilly.
Respectfully and
so,
quietly.
Thank
and
you
civilly.
So much for asking that question. See? I am not sure if I have any opinion about that.
So,
or if I've ever had an opinion or lived on this earth a moment before now. I am unable to provide you with any details.
There's this one clip of her saying in response to
they're like, wow,
a climate change question. I have read things about climate change. I would not say I have firm views on it. What did you read? Also, it's like the job of justice is to read and deliberate and form an opinion. You've obviously read the stuff that the rest of us have read that has been sufficient to form an opinion. Why won't you answer this question? That's just a good example of this frustrating back and forth. There was another one. Klobuchar had asked if it's illegal to intimidate voters at polls, and she wouldn't answer. She said you can't characterize the facts of a hypothetical situation. But, you know, there are laws barring voter intimidation, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was born 14 seconds ago. I don't have any information about anything that's ever happened or ever could happen.
Yeah.
Approach.
And then, yeah, it's also like, well, she's not supposed to do hypotheticals. It's just a repeat of Kavanaugh's stuff without the person shouting during it.
I think the abortion question is big on people's minds. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, sometimes these guys surprise us. I'll say that. That's a perspective somebody shared with me, and it's true. It's not like necessarily a foregone conclusion that they're going to vote in the worst possible way, but it is a very high possibility. And she, of course, wouldn't answer questions about her stance on abortion rights. We can look to her past. This is from NPR. Barrett, 48, has written and spoken about the issue before, including during an appearance at Jacksonville University in Florida shortly before the 2016 election, while a law professor at the University of Notre Dame. Barrett was asked about ways a hypothetical future Supreme Court might allow states to pass more restrictions on abortions. I don't think that the core case, Roe's core holding that, you know, women have a right to an abortion, I don't think that would change. But I think the question of whether people can get very late-term abortions, how many restrictions can be put on clinics, I think that would change, Barrett said at the time. So we can look to that and think, okay, so maybe some forms of abortions won't be taken away. But the thing about late-term abortions, and honestly, you guys also know that we're not Buttigieg stands here either, but he had a really...
Buttigieg's. Come
on. He had a great response to somebody bringing up this issue. And I don't have it here because it's long and I don't want to quote it. But essentially, it's saying, think about who is having a late-term abortion? Somebody that's carried a child for that long and seen the sonogram, had this person inside them for that long. So 99.9% of women that need a late-term abortion are doing so because of a health reason, because they might die, because their child might die. There is something catastrophically wrong. There is something catastrophically wrong, and that is a horrific position for a person to be in, and to put this added thing on top of them, like they already can't make that decision, and it's a generally he was calling for empathy, like to have compassion for who is in this needs those kinds of services.
I mean, yeah, and also, I mean, that's I did see the clip you're talking about, and it was very articulate and compassionate point. And also they say these things, but they don't mean them. It's the, like, that's, they're headed towards banning all abortion. That's what they want to do.
I know.
But that is a good, he did make a good compassionate point. I think that's a good way to talk about it with people.
I certainly don't know anyone. I mean, if you have had an abortion or know women who've had abortions and see them as people, I don't know any women who are like, oh, I don't care. I just waited until month 8 and I just used it as birth control.
Changed my mind.
I got this incredibly traumatic procedure casually because I just don't care.
I wanted to gain 50 pounds. Who I wanted to be happening? Sick in the morning. I wanted to have aches and pains and mood swings and, you know, carry around all this extra weight. I wanted that. You know, or it changed my mind. I don't know. It's just wild. Oh, one last thing I wanted to just point out about Amy Coney Barrett. Almost the entirety of her career has been spent teaching. She's been a professor. In 2017, Donald Trump appointed her to a appeals circuit judge.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017.
So, oh, yeah. There's a pipeline in place for all these judges. Federal Society.
Who's the youngest
these names.
Possible
yeah,
one?
Like they, there's a... this. I mean, everything the GOP is doing to the judiciary, not just in the Supreme Court, but other judgeships, like that's what they've been planning and trying to do for years and years and years. McConnell is just really, really making it happen for him.
Oh, God, and that clip of, I'm not sure who it was that was confronting McConnell, but was basically making the point that we're spending our time doing this when you refuse to pass a coronavirus relief bill.
I will say, I was watching highlights of Amy McGrath.
Yeah.
And
maybe it was the debate.
I think
it was.
It might have been that.
He was laughing.
She was good.
She was great.
I was impressed with her. She was not backing down. She was nailing him.
I'm not sure how close that race is right now, but that is frustrating.
I saw the clip you're talking about. I didn't see a whole lot of the debate. I'm perpetually unimpressed with Amy McGrath.
Unimpressed.
Yeah, I just don't think
you might like some of the. You might be impressed by her.
I like some of her responses. I'm more like her platform and her approach to taking on McConnell, I think, is pretty weak and not.
It's tough
the
because
way
he clearly
to...
keeps winning in that state.
Well, right. And he keeps winning against people like Amy McGrath. And I think that her approach wins primaries in Democratic areas that are like scared of like being bold. Like she has ads out about how like Republicans like her and things like that. And I worry that's what they're doing. And I don't think that is necessarily what is like going to invigorate people in Kentucky to vote.
I don't know.
But whatever. It was frustrating to see Mitch McConnell laugh at people's misfortune.
And I want to wrap this up by pivoting to a kind of cool story, sort of.
Aliens.
I don't know. No, maybe. Britney Spears has won the right to expand her legal team in her conservatorship case. If you guys are familiar with the Free Britney hashtag movement, for our listeners at home.
The social justice movement, hashtag Free Britney.
Free Britney. I accidentally stumbled into this because I just saw a sweet Instagram post of hers. And she just kind of tugged at my heart. She was so just sweet. Kind, you know.
Is this the Instagram post where she's talking about how she burned down her
might
gym?
No,
I've pulled
that
up as soon as we started talking about Britney Spears. I pulled it up because I wanted to talk about that. But yeah,
but she.
I burned down my gym. I had lit some candles. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to show you a dance.
One thing led to another, and yeah, I burned it down.
Yeah.
But she, I just posted, you know, I think that we all collectively owe Britney Spears an apology because we were pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Oh, yeah. Society.
We tore her to shreds, just like Amy Winehouse.
Which, yep, just like Amy Winehouse. I was thinking about that recently, too.
Monica Lewinsky.
She had a song about not going to rehab, and we celebrated it, you know, and we allowed it to happen, and she's dead now.
And then we made fun of her drug addiction for years.
You know, and with Britney, she obviously had a breakdown. How much responsibility do we bear in that? I would say a lot. You know, how we treat
and
her.
And I would say, personally, you and me bear a brunt, like a lion's share of that
really
responsibility.
I really regret showing up at her house and taunting her all those times. I thought it was fun, but it was bad. So anyways, she's been under conservatorship for a very long time under her father. And they've been fighting and, you know, lawyers saying that she's not fit to make decisions, even recently not fit. And yet she's fit enough to go perform. She's fit enough to make them millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
She's got an allowance. She's not allowed to do anything without permission. And she's been trying to change this and being tramped down for years and years. And this Free Britney. Oh, anyway, yeah, I tweeted about it and I got looped into the Free Britney hashtag and I went down that wormhole. And I was radicalized. So this.
Well, I want to unironically say, congratulations, Britney Spears. Yeah. Thank you for all the entertainment. Thank you for I'm a Slave for You.
Yep.
And I'm glad that you are your own woman again.
Well, taking steps there. She's now allowed to have her own legal team. Yeah.
I believe.
That's her, right? That was her?
Is that her or was that Christina Aguilera?
Yeah.
It was her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Exactly.
Remember?
That was really good, Daniel. All right.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
I think that that's a great place to wrap things up today. Daniel, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, please?
Hi, guys. I really enjoyed learning about your problems today.
Yeah, that was a highlight of today.
If you want to find me, you can find me on Instagram at manboynice, or you can find me on Twitter at Daniel V. Gord. Or on YouTube, youtube.com/Matt and Dan.
Oh,
I do sketch comedy.
Check out Matt and Dan.
Internet's Darcy for the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, if any of you loved that. I make comedy and all that kind
His
of
Matt
fun
and
stuff.
Dan videos are simply wonderful.
They're very silly and fun.
Thanks.
And I loved your.
If you want some stuff that is non-political and absurd and weird and makes you laugh, then
go there.
Check it out.
Thank you so much for joining us, Daniel.
I love you guys. We're going to make
it. We are.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Yep.
And I'm going to. And before we go, I just want to remind you guys that we love you very much.